Hey y'all, it's your boy Angel.
And it's your boy Cringe Cringe.
Leave this in. And we're here with another episode of the Us Podcast. And we're off to a fucking great start.
Hell yeah.
And specifically today, we're off to an even more amazing start because we got our boy Katsu also as a guest today, and he's going to kick off the show by playing an acoustic version of his song Rose.
Yes.
I am so excited to listen to this. I am excited for y'all to listen to this.
Yeah, it's going to set the mood. It's going to get us all chilled out, relaxed. So hang back, have a nice drive.
Heck yeah, we'll be right back with the cute ass interview.
See you soon.
Passenger side, you're looking up, counting satellites. You roll your eyes way too many times and talk to me like you're always right. Cause baby, I need you now more than ever. You tried to tell me that I can do better. Go on and break my heart, I'll surrender. This is really what you wanna do. What's it gonna take, girl, for you to fall in love with me? Oh, what's it gonna take, girl, for you to never want to leave?
I tried my best with this fucking app. I fucked up though, but.
Dios Parques. Dios Parques.
Us Podcast, a podcast about us.
It's all of us, bro.
Yes, and it's another week here. I am so excited.
Me too. This is fucking awesome.
Because as you saw from our title here, we got a pretty cool guest today.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's all right, honestly.
Let's not gas him up too much. He will be a superstar one day. He's going to get enough of that.
He is the front man of a band called Katsu also.
Woo!
What's up, guys?
Hi, boy Katsu. How you
Real
doing?
Real name, Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
That's so, my slave name, bro.
Oh, dude, okay. Ooh, wow. No one refer to him as Paul.
Just call him.
He will straight up call you out. Dude, how are you? How was your day?
It was pretty chill, I guess. Just went to work. Got off at 5. Went to go skate for a little bit.
Dang.
Get that little workout in.
Even a superstar goes to work.
That's right. Humble beginnings. Humble beginnings.
Yeah, unlike Chris, who's never had a job.
Damn. Ooh. Like that.
Sorry,
Chris. I've had jobs. I've had plenty of jobs. Thank you very
I'm
much.
Sorry, Chris. But yeah, we're super excited to do this interview. And I think my number one question that I always wanted to ask you was the origins of the band name. Where did that come from? Are you just a real
and
big fan?
And what's up with the little apostrophe? Like, why like the insistence for
that? Are you just a really big fan of chicken katsu?
Or ketchup?
You know, everyone has their own, like, perception on it, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to explain it till, like, 2 years from now.
Oh,
yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
No, respect.
Well, the question was asked not yet. Here. I tried, everybody.
We tried.
Everyone asks me all the time. But
this was a hard nut to crack. I guess, well, yeah, I guess. I guess we'll keep.
It'll remain a mystery then.
Yeah, I guess we'll keep wishing.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having
what
me.
Made you say yes? I'm curious.
Why are you even here, bro?
Are you,
you guys are the homies, and you guys are homies to my homies, so why not, you know?
Nice.
We're all homies. Again, it's all of us.
All of us.
And you're from Montebello, right?
Montebello.
Excuse you, Angel.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll remember for next time. What high school did you go to?
Montebello High School. It's ghetto, bro. Don't go there.
Really?
No, I'm just playing.
Okay. I did have a question.
Sure is ghetto.
Oh, that's what I heard. I thought you were from Sure High School.
That's just me throwing shade at Sure, bro.
Dang, there's a fucking rivalry. Just like Bell has the 8 Huntington Garfield Park. The Huntington Park rivalry, bro.
How familiar were you with like this area before? Or like when did you become, like had you always known of like the Southeast LA area, or were you like pretty blind to it?
Nah, I've always been more of like the East LA part.
Right.
Yeah. I've never been this side of town, only to go to like the movies or...
Oh, you go to Edwards?
Yeah, I used to go to that all the time. Yeah. It's super clean.
Used to.
Yes.
This was upgraded to Harkins.
To Cinepolis.
Cinepolis. And Pico Vera.
This was upgraded.
Yeah, I'm just playing.
Like,
I don't go
there. I only go to ArcLight theaters.
Nah, bro. Whittier Village all day. $5 movie.
That's a nice theater.
I've always wanted to go to Whittier Village, but for some reason
I saw Ice Age 4 there.
There's four. I was like, bro, there's four Ice Ages? What the fuck?
Dude, there is four Ice Ages. And Chris went to the marathon, Ice Age marathon.
I saw it.
All day marathon.
Random fact.
Yeah, he's like 18 hours of Ice Age, you know? I was like, fuck it. I haven't seen any of them.
I don't fuck with Marvel, but I'm all about that Ice Age.
Dude.
Damn.
Well, I want to ask you, you know, it's really cool to have you here because Angel and I have been so fortunate through this podcast to meet so many cool, you know, young up and coming brown artists, and that just gets us so fucking, because like I remember me and Angel and Jonathan Dustin Jimenez, who is in the room, we were driving back from Raising Cane's, and we were playing
shout out Raising
Pastel
Cane's,
which is out now, by the way, his EP Pastel.
Yeah, go listen to Pastel.
Yeah,
and we were listening to, I said, how fucking cool is this, guys? I'm like, we're three brown guys listening to brown music from a guy our age. Like,
hell yeah.
Like
in Chris's Lexus.
Sure. We can. It's a car. It's just a car.
I just wanted to set the scene.
Yeah,
it was a good time. We're eating Raising Cane's, the fucking best chicken ever.
Shout out Raising Cane's.
Yeah, shout out Raising Cane's.
I was gonna ask, how do you feel? Like, did you ever like anticipate that you were gonna become a part of like this, or like did you ever like imagine that you'd be a part of like this? I don't know, if movement.
I would call it a movement.
Movement. Yeah. Did you ever imagine like you'd ever be a part of something like this?
You know, it was always like a dream. Yeah. I remember when I first dropped Sophie. I dropped it on 420, bro. I dropped it for my stoner friends. Because I knew a lot of people were going to blaze it. And I was like, bro, I'm going
to
write like a, you know, pretty chill like pop song so you guys can listen to it. And I dropped it on 420. And before then, I used to make like trap beats and shit.
Yeah.
Damn. And my shit would only get like 100 listens and it'd be up for like months.
Would you rap?
Nah, I would just make the beats. And Rudy, the guitarist in my band, he'd rap over it. That shit's so lit, bro. I gotta show you sometime.
That's fucking awesome. But,
I lost track, bro.
Why was that your, like, why was that your starting point? Like, trap beats? Were you trying to catch that wave?
I was just trying to figure out, like, producing, you know, because I never, like, went to recording school or anything like that. And, like, GarageBand, I had it on my laptop, and I had a friend that would make trap beats through GarageBand, so I was like, I'm gonna challenge myself to learn, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
When did you do that?
That was like November of 2016.
So you were
to like January of, oh, it was just last year, bro. I was 23.
Oh, okay, cool.
Look how young, bro.
Damn.
That's fucking
so
young.
Cool.
Yeah, man.
Well, you're 94?
Oh, wait, what?
Oh,
okay,
I heard,
I'm a 94,
are you
bro.
94?
I thought
fucking,
you said,
dude,
I was like,
94
bro.
Babies all the way, bro. Sorry, Chris.
No, it's okay.
Bro.
Gotta leave you behind.
That's okay. I came out
bro,
the same year Titanic came out. I'm good.
I gotta flex the NSYNC shirt real quick.
Oh, Paul just lifted his hoodie up to reveal an NSYNC shirt, bro. Shout out to me and Chris's last promo of.
It's close enough, but it was Backstreet Boys. But it was Backstreet Boys, but it's close enough.
Backstreet Boys got some bangers though.
Yeah, dude. Both of those. Hell yeah. What's so weird, when I remember when I was a kid, my sister used to bump that shit all the time, and I hated it. I'd be like, this is the fucking worst music ever made. Mm-hmm. And now, like, for some reason, I look back on it, and I'm like, damn, this shit was fucking good.
Yeah, they're good pop songs. You know, good melodies. Yeah.
It's funny how age, like, you
shifts.
Yeah, like, you learn to appreciate the shit that annoyed you. Like, my sister would play, like, fucking, if you want to go and take a ride with me. And I used to hate that song.
It's staring up my heart when I'm with you.
And you just, and now I look back, and I'm like, damn, that was a good time.
It's a good old time. The good old days.
Good time,
dude. Okay, I actually had a question about the album. It's mm-hmm. Pastel, referencing pastel or cake.
You know, it has like three meanings.
Oh,
bro.
Shit, there's a third one.
So pastel is, you know, like obviously the tone of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then pastel, the cake. Like the cake, bro. But I meant to like booty. Oh, you know, like she got cakes, like bro. Cheeks. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt that as soon as he said pastel, like I know he's talking about ass.
Dude,
I know it.
Dude, Chris instantly like clicked to him. He's like, phew, I know where you're coming from, dude. And you don't have to say it.
You don't have to say no more. I'm right there with you. I love the album even more.
Dude, oh hell yeah, my man. God.
It could be whatever you want it to be, really, you know?
And that's how art should be.
Yeah.
Just be like, dude, interpret it.
No yeah, limits, what's the word, bro. Like, where you look at it and, like, it can have different... I don't know.
Subjective?
For, like, subjective.
There you go.
There it is.
Word of the week. Subjective.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
But I also wanted to, like, have a part of, like, cake, like an actual cake, you know? Because, well, cake has layers, and I wanted my album to be, like, a three-layer thing. Oh. So, like, the first four songs are about being, like, madly in love.
Yeah.
Actually, the first four, and then the next three is about, like, losing that love and just, like, having your heart broken, you know? But then that last song is a song of hope, like, still finding that one fucking love, even after your heart's broken.
What did you want to achieve with the EP? Like, what did you hope that it, like, said? That you couldn't like probably say like with words, you know? I know you kind of like briefly kind of like went through it.
But I wanted it to be a very nostalgic album. Uh-huh. Like I wanted people to be like, damn, this reminds me of like the first time I had my first kiss, or like the first time I held hands with the girl that I liked in like seventh grade or sixth grade, whatever, you know? Just that feeling of being in love, really.
That's cool, man.
Man, I'm a hopeless romantic. It's fucked up.
Yeah, I can tell. You're like, you know, there's still hope, man. And then you repeat the album, and then you lose that love.
I love following
but
on.
But there's still hope, man.
I can tell because I follow you on Twitter, and I just love seeing like the different type of shit. Like he'll be like, yo, I feel like just asking out this girl. He's like, fuck. He's like, should I do it? And then they're like, he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. She said yes. I'm like, that's great. I'm like, fuck the whole thing. I'm like, congrats,
then,
Poppy.
And then all,
fuck,
then all the Twitter verse is like, yay, finding love.
Yeah, Twitter's fun now.
Now that you have an audience.
Yeah, it wasn't fun a year ago.
Yeah, back when you're like, should I ask this girl out? And like,
no one is funny.
And then you're like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. Like just keeping a record of like, hey, fool, I did it, you know?
Yep.
So it's pretty recent that you started getting a little bit more notoriety then.
Yeah, I guess so.
How does that feel? How did it happen? How did you like blow up? What was it?
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like people started really listening to my music after I played that Tower of the Creator show with Brockhampton and
Bane's
World.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
Last December.
I didn't know that.
I think that was like
that fucking show.
Fuck, dude, because I don't know, man. That was just so random.
That was
not
like
expecting.
November?
That was in December
that?
Of last
December.
Year. Bro, I just got an email saying that the guy that was throwing it wanted me on it. And I was like, what the fuck?
You're like,
I screamed, bro, because like I wasn't used to playing shit like that. You know, I was like, what? I fucking went ape shit.
Yeah, dude, I was talking to Gil, who plays keys in Cuts also, and he was like, yeah, we were only a band since, like, kind of, like, April of 2017?
August of 2017. Yeah.
And then that shit
That was our first show, August of 2017.
Yeah, and then that Tyler shit came around in December, and it's like, holy fuck, it was unprecedented growth.
It was crazy.
And I was at that show, I remember.
Oh, were you?
But you didn't see him?
But I was... He was inside, and I was outside.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and okay. I was just like... Because I didn't even know... Who Katsuosa was at the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then later, once I met everybody, I was like, the name looks familiar. And then I saw the fucking lineup. Like, I looked back on the lineup and I was like, they're fucking there, bro.
Fuck.
But I was too busy getting lit to.
Yeah, that was like the biggest audience that I've played for. Yeah.
That's cool.
That's really gnarly.
How did that feel? Get like.
It was scary, bro.
Yeah.
Just being up there. And
what did you have by
people?
That point? What songs did you have?
I only had four songs out.
And so then were the rest covers?
No, we actually, well, we had four songs out, but I pretty much had all of Pastel done.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, so we would play those live. But that was right when I wrote Crazy for Loving You. Like a week after, I was like, fuck it, guys, let's just perform it. And I freestyled the lyrics at that show for Crazy for Loving You because I didn't have shit written down. But it was such a good beat that I was like, just play it, guys. I'll make shit up on the spot.
Did it rhyme?
No one knows the difference. People were vibing.
I fucking love that song. Thanks, man. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that shit is funky as fuck.
It's a fun song.
Full disclosure, like, that's the one that I pitched a music video for.
And I saw that fucking...
I showed you the video.
I'm still down for that, bro.
What's up?
I'm still down for that.
Hell yeah, dude. Like,
dude, you heard it here
That's
first.
All this is for. We're just trying to get you to let us do your music videos. Dude, we're not even recording.
You're like, that's it. Cut it off. Actually, that leads me to another question I had. Like, I love asking this about to people, like, especially musicians. What do you think about when you're on stage and when you're performing?
There's a lot of shit going through my head, but when I'm like, I think after the first song, I forget about everything and I just try to just focus on my lyrics and my performance. Mm-hmm. I try not to be like stiff up there, so I try to just move around, but there's nothing really that I'm like thinking about. Okay. I try not to during the performance, but before I'm like fucking thinking all this shit, like, bro. I'm like, fuck. Like,
is it, yeah. It's like stage fright and shit?
Yeah, but then after the first song, it goes away.
That's why I can't be like, I hate performing because I think of everything that could possibly go wrong. I'm mm-hmm. just like, even though we've practiced this shit hundreds of times, yeah. what if this is the one where I just like slip and I fucking, my guitar breaks in half, like just all the worst shit that could possibly happen.
Well, how do you do yeah. when shit goes wrong? Because I remember I was at the Kingston night and yeah. I think that was like the second night where like just sound people were just fucking up on
bro,
you
bro. Yeah, that sound guy, I guess he wasn't used to, like,
right.
you know, having all those synthesizers.
Right.
Those guys are used to... Yeah, those guys are used to miking up, like, live bandas. You know?
The smile on his face.
like, what the fuck? Why do you need five of them?
You're like, one piano yeah, isn't bro. Enough? That's why they say it.
And they had me using wireless mics. I was like, what the fuck? Bro, do I look like Ariana Grande? For
you?
Like,
bro. You don't like wireless
mics? I love Ariana, bro. Shout out. Sweetener's a good album. But
dude, shout out Ariana Grande.
But do you, like, so you wouldn't, like, in the future fuck with, like, wireless mics? You'd want to do, like, the corded ones?
I like the corded ones because I have it plugged into my vocal processor, so I can get that, like, deep voice for Crazy for Loving You or, like, more reverb. Own settings.
Maybe if Katsu wants to do, like, some choreography shit in the future.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he'll put on some... Back,
alright. Yeah.
I love that you both do the same thing.
Why else would you wear wireless headphones?
That's true.
Unless you're fucking dancing and
no, I was mostly talking about the wireless mic because like those that looks like a lot of fun to use. Yeah. And that's but I guess for like the effects it wouldn't really work out.
Yeah.
But then you can't like wrap the cord around.
That's
your
true.
Arm.
You can't have that rock star vibe.
You can't swing the mic.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
like...
you can't swing the mic.
So was this something that you were always like driving towards you as a kid, or did you have like? Was it like, oh, I'm going to just become a regular guy, and then you're like, oh, let me make beats, and then this shit happens?
Oh, nah, bro. Like, music has always been my, like, I always wanted to pursue that, you know?
Yeah.
But just with all, like, the social pressures and, like, family pressures and pressures from my girlfriend, like, go to school. Everyone tell me to go to school for shit that I didn't want to do. Yeah. Like, bro, I was going to be a sociology professor.
What?
Like, that's what I was doing. Like, professor I was about
also?
To transfer to Cal State LA.
Professor also.
Dead ass.
Yeah. How was that? How was dealing with that shit? Because Angel and I, we've talked about that a bunch where, like, people, like...
Shout out episode 4.
It's one of those. Podcast. It was... But, like, where there's, like, pressure to, like, go to... Not just go to school, but, like, do the realistic thing. Don't just follow, like... Because the parents are scared. Like, they think, like, you know, like, it's such a... They have such a weird misconceived notion about it. Like, it's so hard. And, like, it was back then, but we have, like, social now. So, like, what was that like for you dealing with?
It was pretty fucked up, man. Just because I'd be constantly getting asked by my dad, like, what about school? You know, what about school? By my mom, by my girlfriend, like, everyone. Well, my ex.
Yeah.
And it was pretty fucked up because, like, I'm over here like, dude, I want to make music. Like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard for them to see it not as a hobby.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, do that when you have time. But when are you going to focus on the real? Like, your real life, your real career. And that shit's...
I feel like a lot of us artists have gotten that at some point where parents are just like, when are you going to stop, like, you know, fucking around with this thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Angel's talked about that from his mom. I got that a lot from my dad.
Yeah.
Funny enough, like, my mom was, like, the only one that ever, like, consistently... Did you ever have, like, that one, or was it all just, like, you that has, like, believe in yourself? Or was there one person... Like, was there one person that told you, like, you could do it? Like throughout all the people that were, like, telling you, like, hey, focus on this, focus on this?
I think in the beginning, I didn't really have those people. It was more of, like, you can do it, but... You know, just have a backup plan.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, just have that plan B. And I'm like, fuck, bro, that gives, I'm not gonna have time to make music, you know. So yeah, during when I was graduating fucking Rio Hondo College, shout out Rio,
shout
fuck
out that Rio place Hondo.
Though but yeah, yeah, when
like,
I was
sorry but I mean I was there so
I attended
when I was there, like I would stay up till like 4 a.m bro, like after studying to like 12, I stay up from 12 to 4 just like working on music, because so, that was the only time I had.
Wow. So you actually gave like the college route a shot, like a decent shot.
Yeah, man, I was there for 4 years.
Oh shit.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I got my AA. I was about to transfer, but then I was like, eh, I don't want to transfer.
Why?
Because my music, like people were listening, and I was like, I'm just gonna invest in this and see what happens.
That's fine. And so scary. From then to when you were growing up, like what were like who were the people that you like looked up to?
My dad. My dad like makes. Well, he used to record with his brother in our garage.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, but he would record on, like, a 16-track, you know. Like, now we have computers, like, Ableton yeah. and shit. But he did it, like, the old school way. So, I guess growing up and seeing that kind of, like, inspired me to make my own music.
What about people that were, like, famous? Did you ever have any, like, artists that, like...
I think the main one that, like, I was like, fuck, I want to be like this guy was fucking Tame Impala, Kevin Parker.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. I was like, dude, this guy did it all on his own. Like, he writes all the music. Like, I want to do that shit.
Was your dad... also telling you to not focus on music?
But dude, my dad's the one that asks me all the time, like, what about college? Still now. Like, I think two weeks ago, I went to his pad, and he was like, what about college? I'm like, what the fuck?
Does he know how, like, much you're blowing up? Or
he does, but he's popping? Still, like, I don't know, man. I think because, like, him, he, you know, he grew up, I guess, always working. So he's, like, in a union yeah. now. Mm-hmm. You know how unions go, like, fucking 60 hours a week? Mm-hmm. Like, you're always yeah. hustling. I guess he just doesn't want me to see me in that in his shoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, in case my music fails or whatever. He doesn't want me going to a union and just following that cycle.
Yeah, it sucks because, like, they're looking out for you, yeah. obviously. Yeah,
that's where
like,
I get from. It.
You know? But, like, it's so... That encouragement would mean a lot. like,
yeah.
you know?
Fuck yeah.
And that shit's super difficult when you're not getting it from your... The people that everyone tells you are supposed to be supporting you and shit. Yeah. Like, I totally feel you.
But that. I would imagine what's really exciting and I think a cool challenge for you... And because, like, I've kind of had this moment. I'm waiting to get, like, the big one. But, like, where there's that one thing, whether it's a TV performance, whether it's something, and then they're going to be like... Because you hear it yeah, from yeah. every artist, like, where, like, the parents were bugging them, and then they did this one big thing. And like, then, big thing for them. Like, not yeah. by then, you've done a bunch of shit. But, like, the one big thing for them, like, you're on Jimmy Fallon or something, like, oh, all right.
That's it. He's yeah.
fine. You know? Until this fool performs with fucking Bad Bunny, that shit, yeah, no. that shit is not...
That shit won't mean anything to anything. Yeah.
My mom's been pretty chill about it now, though.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's like... She sees how my
she's
music's
like,
popping off.
She's like, I see
off.
Those streams.
Yeah.
She's like, you
yeah,
good.
That too, bro. And she sees me, like, actually making money off of this, so she's like, all right, I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
And I give her money all the time to help her out, you know?
I think it's also important to note, though, that, like, this isn't the only way you're making money at the moment right now, right? You work another job?
Yeah. I went from full-time to part-time recently.
That's
how,
cool.
How do you manage, like, part-time job and your music career? Like, what takes... I mean, obviously, I would guess music takes precedence and shit, but have you had any, like, pushback from your job when it comes to, like, pursuing your music career?
Yeah, I think when I was, like, full-time, dude, I was full-time for 3 years, so doing 40 hours a week, like, I'd always be tired after work. I'd be like, fuck. But I'd still be like, fuck it. Like, I'm still gonna work on music, you know? It's still early, so stayed up, like, 3 hours working on shit.
Fuck, dude. I like sleeping. I can't fucking do that shit.
I know, man. Me too. But at the end of the day, it's like, this is what I want for myself.
Yeah, that grind.
Know. I know. I really wanted to highlight it because I had no idea. I think you had tweeted something once. You're like, oh, I got to go to... Or like somebody like... you tweeted something like, somebody buy my music so I can stop working here or whatever. Or something like yeah, that. And I was like, I had no idea that you were like... So like that... I don't know.
The
I
grind think never stops.
That's
bro.
So yeah, cool man. For someone especially that's like really doing it like him. Big. And like still just fucking like...
I would say like that speaks to how fucking difficult it is to be fucking brown and trying to.
It'd
make
be like
shit.
If I saw Cuckoo at Target, like part time, you know, like or something. You know, it's like, what are you doing here?
You're
like, what the hell are you doing here? You know, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I think that's. I mean, it's because all of us are pretty much doing that.
Yeah,
but
we
like,
all have to like, we're doing what we love, and at some point we're like doing big shit. But we still have to, like, make money to feed ourselves and, like, fuck pay yeah. bills and shit.
And I wanted to highlight that especially because I don't think that there's any shame in that. I think that's just, like, I think that's kind of cool because, like, isn't it weird that we live in a generation where, like, potentially your favorite artist, like, dude, like, I know where he works. Like, I can go fucking say hi to him at wherever,
yeah, he
know?
Works at...
chill, bro.
He works at... Wee!
Dude, that is fucking
I think that's just so cool. It's like, I would have never imagined to like grow up like and like have like, I don't know, who did I like back then? I don't know, Drake Bell at like, you know, In-N-Out or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Drake, what are you doing?
What are you doing here? It's like, hey, I gotta make some money. There was actually a story where I don't know if you saw, there was an old Cosby Show star who worked at like a Trader Joe's part time, aside from acting, and people were like kind of making fun of him on Twitter for that. Damn. But like, you know, I really fucking admire that, and like, I cannot wait for the day that you tweet, I'm done. I'm done with this shit. I'm going full time.
Yeah, that day might be coming soon.
Very soon.
From what I hear.
Bro, when that day comes, I'm just gonna focus.
Fuck. Who are you gonna fuck? Gonna
focus on music.
Us podcast exclusive. Who is Kutzer gonna fuck?
I'm just gonna fuck all day.
Constantly.
Nah, I'm just gonna do music 24/7.
Hell yeah.
That's gonna
be
my job.
Well, if you don't release 3 albums in 1 year, then after you quit your job, I'm gonna be like, this fool doesn't care.
2019, bro.
Dude, 2019, that shit's
gonna be crazy.
Explode.
In your time in the spotlight so far, what's been a common misconception of you or that people assume? What's something that they get wrong? To clear the air. You don't have any of those yet?
No, I guess not yet. Give me an example. Yeah. I probably do, but just can't think about it right now.
Do people think you're outgoing? Or do you think you're outgoing? Like, yeah. do people put you on like a higher, pedestal, I guess? I don't know.
I guess so, because sometimes like when I meet fans, like they kind of fan out, and I'm like, what the fuck?
You're like, dude, like, I'm just me.
Bro, I work at fucking...
unnamed
it's like, but it's cool out. You know, they're just seeing how excited they get, and
do
makes
people,
me happy, man.
Do people call you Kutzer?
Yeah,
that's cool. How does that feel?
Do you like that?
It's cool. It's okay. Cool. I fuck with it.
You're like, yeah, who is my name for?
Well, how did it? Okay, this is really cool to me. Like with this podcast, we've been kind of getting sort of like the Kutzer experience, where like people like sending us messages, like, dude, like this is really cool. Like, how did it feel when you started getting your first wave of like fan messages or like letters? Did you get like letters?
I was never
used
to that. Yeah, bro, I'd be getting DMs all the time. Like when I first dropped Sophie, people were like, I love this song, like I have it on repeat, like shout out from Texas, shout out from like New York, and I'd be like, what the fuck, like this has never happened to me, you know. I think that's what like kept me going making music for like the people that just enjoy it and see how much, you know, how happy it makes them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I feel
that's
you.
Crazy.
But I think the one thing that like made me continue music, bro, I was about to quit after like my fourth song, because it wasn't popping off. What? I didn't have a manager, bro. Like when Honeydew had like 9,000 listens, you know, like it was nothing. I was about to quit, but then I got a message from some girl from like Texas. It was around the time of like the hurricane, and she was like, dude, I lost my pets, I lost my home, I lost everything, I'm in a shelter right now, and your music's keeping me going. And that, bro, like I fucking like, oh, it broke me. And I'm doing it for her, like for that love, you know, just based on like how much my music means to people.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I always think about that message that like kind of haunts me, because I couldn't do anything about it, you know.
Yeah. That's such a huge thing to hear. It's like,
yeah, man.
Dude, I'm all the way in California. Like,
it fucked me up.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to one of the things we said. I told you, like, when I was talking about one of the influences I had in the first episode, I said, like, I think I put out, like, when you're creating, even if like you don't realize it, like somebody's watching, somebody's listening, and you may not know, but like somebody in fucking Maine, Florida, wherever, like they're quietly like
listening. Yeah. Yeah.
And like, even though you might not get all that feedback all the time, like just keep doing it at first because you love it, but because there are people that like you don't even realize are like feeling you and like just excited for your career. So that's really cool. And thank you for sharing that, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
really, that was really sweet.
It's a it's a big burden to bear sometimes too, though. It's like, damn, people are fucking depending on me.
You're a public figure now. Is that weird?
Yeah, it kind of is now, bro. Yeah, but it's cool though, you know. Like, they hype me up and they keep me wanting to do this.
Like,
my fans, shout out
my
fans.
Oh my god, Paulie's In-N-Out. Holy shit! I don't even have In-N-Out where I'm from. Dude.
Yeah, man.
Oh my god. Talking back to like the album and about how like it's about like finding love, losing love, and having that hopeful spark again. Are there any songs either that you've released or are making that are like difficult for you to play because they hold, you've attached like some bad memories to them or something? Or are you like kind of detached to some of your songs?
I love all my songs, but yeah, I guess some of my songs were written about a certain person. And like, I give, you know, I was feeling some sort of way when I wrote them, you know, but then like she fucked me over. So it was like, fuck. So now I have to sing these songs about this girl that like fucked me over, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up, But like,
that's like some torture shit, right?
Yeah,
there.
But then like Pastel, like that's I think that's like my favorite song that I've written, mm-hmm. and that's about someone that like really means a lot to me now. So I love performing that shit.
That's dope. Yeah. You're like, can we play that just 10 times?
It's not on a loop.
Can we just fill the whole set with this?
Yeah. The set of Pastel.
Oh, I don't know. I'm really honored that you're in my room, for one. Because,
this is a sick ass room, like, too, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I know. Because I was going to say, like, you, like, again, like, this is the year that I've really started noticing, like, it started with, like, you know, finding out about Cuco through my brother, Brandon, that you mm-hmm. met earlier.
Shout out. That's and a homie.
Shout out to Brandon. Blackmouth. no, yeah. So, like, I started with Cuco and then you. And then I started listening to the Marias. And, like, they've been exposing me to, like, a bunch of, like, the cool brand music coming up. And, like, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, there's, like, Omar Apollo and all that. And anyway, like, what is, like, do you feel like you're a part of, like, this renaissance that's, like, slowly, like, bubbling up? And, like,
yeah, man.
Like, what does that feel like knowing this?
I remember, like, dropping shit. Right when the Bedroom Pop playlist came out, mm-hmm. I was like, damn, like, I want to be on that playlist. Like, you know, I guess because when I was in, like, high school, do you guys remember that whole, like, indie pop scene? Like, Passion Pit.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, Two Door Cinema Club, mm-hmm. fucking all those bands.
Tokyo Police.
It was always like, damn, like, how do I fucking get there, you know? Mm-hmm. And now, like, this wave of just, like, musicians making music out of their room is coming up and we're getting, like, a spotlight. Hell, it's pretty exciting, like, being a part of it, especially because, like, everyone knows each other. Like, I'm homies with, like, you know, all those foods, like Michael Sayre, fucking Omar Apollo, Oliver Wave. Like, it's a community, man. Yeah, it's really cool. Everyone's really nice. It's dope.
And everyone's, like, constantly, like, bringing each other up and shit.
Yeah. Dude, like, Omar Apollo fucking FaceTimed me last time. I was like,
Omar?
What the Yeah.
Oh, I fucking, dude, I'm obsessed with this EP, man. I'm so jealous.
Right when I gave him my phone number, that was, like, the first thing. He didn't even text me or anything. He just FaceTimed me.
He's like, what's up, bro?
All right, what's up, man?
Like, I'm sure
I'm a big fan, bro.
Yeah, you're like, yo, what's up? What are you doing?
It's funny, like, he as soon as you answer, he's just like, you ain't never seen a brown boy. Like, it's like, like, you have to say that every time, Omar. Like, I got it. It's a cool line, bro. Do you ever, like, do you guys ever, like, what, do you guys ever just, like, talk about, like, how fucking crazy it is? Like, or are you just so busy touring that it's just like, hey, how's it going?
And yeah,
just,
it's like, more of like, oh, what's up, dude? Like, how's it going? Yeah, just a quick, you know, exchange
right,
of words.
All right, I gotta go jump on stage now. Yeah. I just wanted to call you because, like, I miss you.
That's cool, man. That's really, I don't know, that's really cool. I feel really privileged that we get to live in a time like this and just, like, I don't know, I'm sure every, like, generation has had that thing where they're coming up not just with, like, creatives in their field, like filmmakers, but also, mm-hmm. like, singers and stuff and, like, musicians and, like, I don't know, like, it just really feels like a really big family, and that just gets me
Yeah, dude, that's jazzed. What, like, inspires me for sure, like, seeing all these, like, young fucking marginalized artists, like, just getting together and fucking making music and shit. It's just mm-hmm. like, damn, I can do that shit too.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't have to be from, like, this big ass city. You can be from fucking Montebello and shit.
Yeah, and you don't have to have a big ass recording studio. Like, when I fucking started, I had a desk like this and, like, an interface and just monitors, and I still do. That's how I make my music. Like,
is that your setup at home now?
Yeah, dude, I still have my same setup since, you know, when I wrote Sophie. Like, wow. Same shit, yeah.
So is there no excuse to go out and make your music?
It's all about how bad you want it at the end of the day. Like, is it really your passion? Like, are you willing to put in the time for it, you know? Because some people talk about their passion, but they don't, you don't see them hustling, you don't see them, like, you know, that's what it comes down to, bro. I wanted this bad, so I was like, fuck, I gotta do what I gotta do. Either that, you know, even if it means staying up till 5 a.m. working on this song.
You're like, fuck sociology, man. I wanna
yeah, bro. Like, I was doing so bad in stats. I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna.
And that was the breaking point.
Like, stats
got me fucked up, bro. I can't do this.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. No,
I was like, why the fuck do you need stats for to be a sociology? To be a sociology professor.
Exactly.
No, it's funny. I've been listening to, like, a lot of Gary Vee. He's a podcast. He's like kind of like a motivator, kind of. And he says, like, because, you know, a lot of the excuse people give him for, like, not building their business is like, oh, but I work all day. And then he's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, he's like, that time that you're not working is like from 12 to like 4. I think what you mm-hmm. said is, like, you could be doing, like, you can get a lot of shit done in that time. And I thought that was really cool that you brought that up. That,
but,
like,
Gary.
Yeah, no, but there's, like, it's funny, like, it that people just, like, you know, like, it is almost just as easy as it sounds, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's easy at least to, like, in like, theory, like, literally you can do this executing. That's, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But, like, mm-hmm. I think it's cool that you had that, like, drive from the beginning.
Yeah.
What? So I'm really curious, like, if you didn't, like, what, I don't know, was it, if you didn't have, like, the support, like, necessarily the full support from, like, your parents, like, what, like, What was it like? What was like the craziest like thing you would like tell yourself to like keep fucking going, even like when you didn't see that many crazy results?
I'm doing this for my mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that was like at the end of the
day. Even when
like,
they weren't supporting you?
Like, because my parents are divorced and they got divorced when I was like 10. So that like kind of fucked me up. Mm. And just like seeing her struggle throughout these years, it's like, I don't want to see her struggle anymore. And like, if I can, you know, I love making music. Like, if I can help her out through that, then that's how it's going to be, you know?
How does she feel about the EP?
She loved it, man. That's my little brother's always singing my parts.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, they call me Andy at home. So my little bro's like, Andy, play that song that goes or bro, he like, dude, he funny. Learns on the piano. He's like, dude, look what I learned.
And they're like, no, that's the wrong key.
Dummy.
Oh, nah, let me show you.
My little brother's 5, so it's exciting when he like shows me shit that he like, learned, you know, through ear. Like, yeah, whoa. Dude. Yeah.
A fucking,
that's always nice to have sibling support.
Treat that fool when like mentor him and be like, you're gonna be great one day. All right.
Hell yeah.
We're gonna take a quick break.
Yeah.
And we're gonna come back with some more fun times, some more laughs.
And while we take this break, instead of our usual
instead of our usual interlude, I think we have a little surprise for all y'all. So
what are we doing?
Just well, you'll see. You're the one doing it.
It involves you.
Catch you all in a little bit. Bye.
See ya.
Waking up next to you, shawty, I can't get enough. I drove many, many miles for you, chasing only for your love. Love, 'cause you got it, I want it. Girl, I know I need it, can't forget all about it. Show me how I make you feel whenever I'm with you. Baby, I can hardly breathe, oh, with you. I'm coming after all your love. Oh, baby, give me all your love. Give me all your love. Sin tu amor yo no sé ni quién soy. En mil idiomas se traduce tu amor. Dime, preciosa, lo que quieres de mí. De mano a mano, así quiero vivir. A tu lado, besando, me encanta verte sonreír. Soñando, volando, solo en pensar en ti, querida coqueta. Dame todo tu amor, cariño. I'm coming after all your love. Oh, baby, give me all your love. Give me all your love. Well, I'm coming after all your love. Oh, baby, give me all your love. Oh, baby, give me all your love. Give me all your love. Love.
Woo! Damn!
That was aight.
All right, everybody, we're back. You are listening to the Us Podcast, as always. My name's Angel Salinas.
Cool.
And who are you?
And I'm Chris Carmona.
And who else is here?
It's your boy Katsu.
Ooh,
it's your boy Katsu.
And you just came back from listening to Coqueta by Katsu Oso.
Good job, Katsu.
And if you like that shit and you want to see your boy Katsu live,
what do I do?
He's got a couple of shows coming up that that we're about to plug right now. The next show, October 26th at the Regency Ballroom.
In San Francisco?
San Francisco, California. You're correct, Chris. What a great guess. You didn't even know about this show.
I had no...
He's playing with some great people like Wayne's World.
I love them.
Interstate.
They're my favorite band.
Oscar Apollo.
The love of my life.
And Michael Seance. And many, many more. Go check him out, October 26th. He's also going to be playing October 29th.
Where at?
I think it's Marty's on Newport. You're Mary's.
Sick!
In Tustin, California.
Tustin!
With the homies, the Marias.
Maria.
Oh! Good ass show right there. And then, the big one.
Ooh.
November 4th. the second day of Tropicalia in Long Beach, California.
Long Beach.
Playing with the one, the only,
Morrissey.
Cardi B.
Cardi B.
So go check out those shows. See a Katsu show live. Come say hi to me and Chris, because we're probably going to be at all of them.
Hopefully.
And back to the show.
And how so you feeling? How you feeling right now, man?
I'm good, man. Hell yeah.
Are you fucked up yet?
Nah, bro.
Dude, I fucking wish.
I'm half a tall can. Half a tall
he
can
wants
in.
You to be fucked
half
up.
Half a tall can in.
If we're doing Four Locos tonight, it'd be a different story, bro.
Dude, that's what.
I'd be fucking making out with this mic and shit.
Dude. What did you call it? Fucking Justin called it Fort Loco.
Fort Loco. Yes.
Like when you just drink too much, you're like, foo, I'm in Fort Loco.
All the
foo.
Kids are into it.
Don't talk to me. Man, Four Locos used to be a lot cooler. Because they used to have like cocaine in them or some shit.
Cocaine? Shit.
Oh, they used to have something.
Caffeine, bro.
Yeah, so there you go.
Pretty much the same shit.
Yeah, big difference, pretty Angel.
Much, I'm like, ah, they both have a C in it, you know. That's why I got confused. So you sometimes sing in Spanish in mm-hmm. your songs, correct? And I want to know, why is that important to you, to sing in Spanish?
I think because, well, I grew up listening to a lot of, like, Spanish songs. My dad would be playing, like, all the English songs, but then my mom, when she would, like, you know, clean the house, like, on the weekends, she'd be bumping, like, you know, Gloria Trevi and, like, Jose
oh,
and like, Roberto Carlos, you know, all those old school Spanish
Musica
songs.
Música para limpiar.
Yeah, you know, Los Bukis and shit. Tigres del Norte. Like, it was all, and honestly, all those bands are great, man. Like, I love those melodies, you know. I wish I could transpose them, make my own style out of them, do a cover of them. But it's pretty hard. Shout out to all those bands.
Dude, fuck yeah.
Paving
the fucking
way.
Katsu also classic Spanish cover album coming soon.
I actually want to do that. Hell
there
yeah.
There you go. We'll have a fucking classic Spanish night. And you'll just be like, por tu maldito
no hay nada más difícil que vivir sin ti.
But with 8 synthesizers.
Yeah, yeah. And then, sufriendo en Spanish.
Dude, I fucking love it.
Yeah, shit like that made me want to write Spanish music.
I've always been very self-conscious of me speaking in Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you speaking it?
I was like that too, but I realized, like, I went to, like, to elementary school, and I was in all those classes where it was bilingual.
What?
So I learned how to, like, read and write in Spanish. Fucking so that, like, helps me out a lot. Especially at work too, because I'm like the one talking to all the Spanish customers.
Mm. And that's that brown privilege.
Yeah.
Now, dude, I love having brown privilege. Yeah. That shit makes me feel.
I was kind of iffy, like, in, you know, interpreting that into my music at first. That's why I came out with like 4 English songs. Mm. But then I was like, you know, people are listening. Like, I don't think they'll mind me doing it in Spanish. Like, it's what I grew up on. You know, it's my culture. Like, I gotta do
and
it.
You want to keep that tradition of like doing more.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
It's like, get this fucking Spanish shit out of my bedroom, pop. Disgusting.
And like people in Mexico like really fuck with my music.
Wow.
And it's like, it's a trip because they fuck with like a lot of the English songs at first, you know. But then I dropped the Spanish song and they went like crazy for it. Like when I dropped Pastel, it got put on like a playlist called Café con Leche, I think.
What?
And it has like 400,000 followers on Spotify. And that shit like just got people from like Peru and like Colombia and Mexico.
Shout out Latin
to
America.
Listen. Yeah,
fucking
man.
Shout
out.
Also.
I can't wait to play shows out there one
dude,
day.
Dude, I've always wanted to do like, I just wanted to visit all these like Latin American countries because I feel, I always talk about how living in like this area where it's very Mexican centric and like I don't know enough about other Latin American cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jonathan Justin Jimenez, he's fucking no. What is it? Nicaragüense. There you go.
Same thing.
Chris,
there you go. I just added 3 people to the list. That hate me.
Chris,
I'm building it.
Every time we record, I'm like, maybe Chris will not say something offensive this time. But it's who he is.
It's just
and you
I
know
am.
What? It's okay.
Thank you. There you go. See,
I've accepted
we're
it.
We're getting somewhere
because he. Chris knows what he's doing now.
I do know. I know. And now I just do it purposefully.
Yeah, he does it because it's like his brand. It's like, oh, here's Chris going to say some ignorant shit. But yeah.
Maybe. That old dog of mine. I wanted to ask you, talk to us about your band because I think that they play a really, really important part.
Oh,
to,
fuck
to
yeah, dude.
Tell
I
us
feel
about
like
them.
That gives a different feeling to my music live. Like,
yeah.
I could have done this by myself, doing it to a backtrack. Mm. But like, I've seen artists do that and it's not as fun as like seeing a whole band performing and just giving their all on stage. So like, everyone in my band, they've always been my homies throughout like high school. Uh-huh. Like there's seven of us, dude. It's a lot
seven.
Of us.
Seven.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I got Brian. He's okay. My brother. He plays synth. Synth one.
Synth one.
Lead synth. Lead synth.
No, he does chords.
Oh, okay.
So that's Brian. And then I got Dre, my boy. He drums.
Dre.
He's fucking sick.
Drums.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out, Dre. I got fucking Lil YG on synth number two.
Ooh, Young Gatita.
Young Gatita. Yep,
with the episode vocals. Eight.
Yeah, yep. Shout out to a past episode.
Yeah. I heard it, bro. It was so good.
Oh, damn. Yeah. We got a fan here.
And then I got Rudy. Been my best friend since like seventh grade.
AKA Papa Curls.
Curls. Shit. Yeah,
we're just
man,
listening to his
guitar.
Rap in the break.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're listening to his underground rap history.
And then I got my boy Gil on synth number three.
I feel like we need like beep 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 beep, like just like, you know, like we got, like we got my boy us? Yeah, we got my boy Dre on the drums.
And then Gil.
Exactly. Then I got David on bass.
Dude.
That monster, bro.
Dude, Young Thanos.
Young Thanos, bro.
Is he the one with the headband?
He got the fucking gauntlet.
I remember specifically seeing y'all for the first time. Mm-hmm. And David just fucking steals the show for me. Like, this
dude
is so passionate. Like, when he mm-hmm. plays, I fucking love it.
Yeah, I never got to tell him what to do. I'm like, hey, bro, I wrote a song. Make a part. It's all right.
Yeah, and he fucking kills it. Yeah, he just, you know, he goes like, and then we fucking got a song.
Yeah.
I believe you guys, you and Val were kind of clowning on him for the faces he makes.
Dude, we make so many memes out of him.
Dude, I guarantee y'all have not met memers like the Katsu.
Dude,
also
our group chat is just fucking
the Katsu
memes.
Clan.
Back to back.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's because, you know, a lot of people catch us at the wrong times, making the wrong faces, the weirdest faces.
My fucking favorite is the one with Gil holding the Four Loko. Oh, and he's just like holding it. It looks so serious. Like, this is what I've chosen.
Yeah, everyone in my band's pretty ratchet in like the best way possible.
And you guys have done a couple tours already, have you?
We did one tour, the Bay Tour. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
How was that?
That was a lot of fun, man.
I heard a lot of stories.
Well, yeah, tell us. Exchange some stories by the campfire.
I heard a lot of stories from that.
Oh, yeah, like
tour.
What, bro?
You're like, shit. Whoa, what the fuck did you hear? Oh, you didn't do shit? Bro, I saw you on Instagram, dude. I know what the fuck happened. I saw that pouring of the vodka into sleeping Rudy's mouth.
Dude, he didn't even realize we poured vodka in his mouth. He just tasted it and made like a nasty face and went back to sleep. I was like, what the fuck?
Dude, this was knocked out. Who poured it in his mouth?
I did. Dude, we had vodka. Everyone was turning up and he was the only one knocked out. So I was like, dude, his mouth is open. Let's do it. Like,
he's got to drink something.
Yeah, he's got to be a part of this.
You
got to
wake him up.
Dude, I can't even imagine what it feels like to wake up and you're just like, you took it. You drank a shot of vodka as you wake up. You're like, what kind of world is this?
Yep.
Then I saw this weird ass contraption you had.
Oh my god.
What was that?
So Gil has this thing called a fucking knockout. Oh. Dude, it's like a bong with a, it's like a beer bong and a weed bong at the same time. So you put like a bottle in there and then you put some weed on the side and like you flip it over and while you're drinking it, you're lighting up the weed. So it fills the bottle with it, you know, with gas, with fucking smoke, and then you're drinking the beer and then you just drink the beer and take a rip.
What kind of hydraulic shit is this? This
I don't really do it, but Gil's like perfect at it.
Of course he would.
He's a champion, man.
What was it made out of? Like sodas?
I don't know, man. He bought it online somewhere.
Oh, he bought it online.
Oh, you thought he like engineered that?
I know. I was saying, like, where the fuck did he find the time?
He's like, I'm gonna cut this bong in half and then I'm gonna.
He bought it for the occasion.
Dude,
for tour.
And have you enjoyed the touring experience so far? Is it something that you can get used to?
You know, I want to do it for the rest of my life, dude. Like, I can't wait to do a big, like, 2-month tour with someone.
You haven't gotten tired of your songs yet?
I don't get tired of them. They're fun performing them.
Yeah.
You know? Nah, I don't get tired, bro.
I just got to hear some, like, from, like, my brother. Like, he already, like, he doesn't even play that many shows, but he's like, dude, I'm fucking sick of these songs already.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean,
it's hard to, like, I think we talk about getting tired of, like, shit we've written.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep that fucking fire.
Dude, especially when I, like, wrote all the songs, I would listen to them fucking millions of times in my room, just like, okay, what can I write to this? Like, what melodies? Just, like, freestyling melodies and shit till something good came out.
Yeah.
And so I've listened to thousands of times.
Dude, here's something. So I go through this when I'm editing like a film, but do you hear mistakes in the recordings
all the time? Yeah,
like in the ones that are already like published, yeah, so and you, to, you're like,
oh,
fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're just like, and no one knows.
Will you disclose the mistakes for us? Yeah. No, I was kidding.
Like, where, what second?
What second? So everybody can look for it.
Yeah. And it sucks that you get, you like start paying like hyper attention to everything because you're like, you've heard this shit hundreds of times, yeah. Millions of times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just one like, time like before Katsu, I was like, you know, making my trap beats and shit. Oh, yeah. I like released a song and then like 2 months 2 months after, like I listened to it and then I heard my fucking microwave go off. I was like, fuck, I never realized this till now.
You know, in the Marvin's Room cover that I have, you could hear my fire alarm, the beep. You can just hear in the background, beep.
Yeah, dude, I hate that shit.
Yeah, that's the worst.
That's like, yeah, that's like recording a song that you hear like, like, ven a comer! Like, like, mama, make it a song! Ooh, girl.
So this is about, so we you showed us some of your Instagram questions that you put out today.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
one of one of the questions was
a lot of them weren't even questions, bro. A lot of them were people just telling me shit. Yeah,
a lot of them were just like
like, hey, Chulo,
dude, yeah, thirsty ass. Y'all thirsty asses, get out of Paul's questions. He's asking a legit question. Yeah,
redirect yourself to my DMs, please.
Yeah, please.
He doesn't need anything. He's got to work. Let the man work.
There's this
bring that over to me.
There's this guy named the Chris Carmona.
Yeah. You can follow that at.
Yeah, please redirect.
Just kidding.
But no, that's y'all asked some good questions, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're gonna open it up to some questions from the audience.
We got some fan questions.
I'll open it with one since I thought this was kind of interesting. Obviously you want to do this forever, but people want to know, are you working on anything new currently?
Oh yeah, always. Yeah, for I try another... not to show people though. Uh-huh. You know, I try not to live stream anymore. I used to live stream all the time, like fucking every day. I think that's what like built my fan base too, because people like loved going on my live stream, seeing the shit that I was making and then waiting for it to drop.
Yeah,
but now it's like I try not to go live anymore just because I want to surprise people with what I have.
That's cool.
Yeah,
what do you think you're changing up this time around that you didn't do before?
I'm using a lot more like, instead of like MIDI you know synths and shit, I'm using like more analog and like, you know, more actual instrumentation.
Yeah.
Like, I want to incorporate, like, a euphonium into my music. I want to incorporate just, like, I want to do, like, a symphony.
I saw you list euphonium as one of the instruments how to play. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
I know,
what
is that?
It's a kind of, like, a smaller...
It's like a small tuba / French horn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's called a euphonium. I was like, I know what that is. I can't, like, that's such a random instrument.
But it was a lot of fun. Like, I did it for marching season for a semester, and then for concert season for 2 semesters.
Dude, another marching band.
Bro,
kid.
Marching band was my life.
Really?
Yeah.
You were in that?
Dude.
You were in it deep?
Like, I had to keep my fucking grades up and shit because I was a drum major too. Like, I would lead the band and conduct the band. So, like,
wow.
Yeah, damn. Bro, I need to have good grades for that. I didn't smoke weed in high school. Yeah, man.
Sober?
Everyone thinks I was, like, a pothead in high school.
Yeah,
but man. I wasn't until, like, half a senior year because I started not giving a shit.
You're like, fuck band, I'm gonna smoke weed.
And I know on Pastel you did most of that or all of it yourself. All
you know that song, bro, I wrote it the day before we recorded it and we didn't change vocals or anything. Like, we didn't do overtakes. The first take that I did, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm just gonna keep it.
Wow.
Yeah, and I wrote it the night before and I had gone to trivia. Gil, he does synth, you know, he plays synth in my band.
Synth 4?
But he synth number 4. Synth number 434. Like, no, but he helps me out with like mixing and mastering and doing vocals. So whenever I do vocals for my songs, I go to his pad. And I was like, dude, I wrote a song last night, like just record it, like let's see how it comes out, you know.
He's the one that plays the horn on that
right? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I was listening to it and I was like, dude, this needs a horn. He was like, I got a trombone in my closet. And I was like, bro, whip it out right now.
whip that shit out right now
whip. And he brings it out,
starts unzipping, like, no the trombone.
You're like, no, the horn. It's like, yeah, I know, that's how do you know that's what I call it? I call it the horn. Oh, the trombone.
Yeah, yeah.
It was that intentional that you wanted to just do it in one take, or did it, like, when you heard it, you're like, yeah, I don't want to do anything else more with it?
No, well, at first I was like, let's do a rough draft, like a demo.
Okay.
And then, like, he sent me a version of it and I was like, dad, fuck with this. Like, it's very raw and it's very just like everything I was feeling, because I had gone on a date the day before, and that night I wrote it about the girl.
Uh-huh.
I went to the Getty and that, like, just inspired me. And, like, wow. Just the I say in the song, like, tu vestido pastel. She was wearing like a pastel dress.
That and raw, like, emotion.
Yeah, bro. And, like, the day after, I just, like, I had the lyrics written and I just dropped it. Oh, I've just, you know, recorded it and I liked it. So I was like, fuck it. There's just mic up the, let's just do the drum tracks and it's done. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember listening to that song and I was like, this is very different from the rest of the
album. It is.
I wanted that though, because I love a lot of albums where it's just like, you know, a single sound and then the last song is just like different as fuck, you know?
I don't know if you guys, how familiar you guys are with Foster the People's like albums, but they do something kind of like that. Yeah. In Supermodel, they like, you know, obviously all their shits are pop, popish songs. And at the end, they have a song called Fire Escape. Mm-hmm. And it's literally, you could just tell that like they put a mic in like a room kind of like this, probably like far away. And you just hear Mark Foster just playing guitar and he's singing like this song. And I thought that was like such a weird, like melancholic way, if that's a word, to like end an album. But I like that you have that tradition. And like, what did you like, I don't know, like, were you... When you had that date and everything, and when you made that song, was that like, you know, like I kind of like want to just put this in, like just have it, like have this like not bittersweet, but like this like sweet moment at the end. Was that like intentional, or like was it just like a random inspirational moment?
I think it was just an inspirational moment because of like the time that I had with this girl. Uh-huh. It just like I was just so into my feels that night that I was like, I gotta write this song for her. Not for her.
You're like, I'm so full of love.
Her, you know. Yeah.
Did she know it's for her?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Shit. That's cool.
Imagine you're like, you're like, she's like flexing, like, that song's about me.
I named the album about her, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
That must have been a very special person.
Yeah, man, she's still in my life. Oh. Hell yeah. Shout out. I don't like to say her name.
Shout out,
yeah.
Nameless.
Yeah. Well, I think that leads us to a pretty good question that I got here. Oh, where do you see yourself in a year from now?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Honestly, next year, bro, I want to be on tour everywhere.
Hell yeah.
Like, I want to play Coachella next year. I want to play Governor's Ball. Like, whatever it's going to take to get this brown boy on there. Speak that shit
into existence. Yeah, dude. Let's that's do what we're it. Doing.
You know?
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. Here at the Us Podcast, we always talk about speaking shit into existence. Yeah.
Like, it feels unrealistic. It feels like it's a dream, but, like, everything I'm doing now was my dream. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I think I can do it.
Yeah, like, if this shit happened in this short amount of time, who the fuck's to say this won't happen?
Exactly.
Especially if you fucking quit that job and grind 24/7.
Yep.
That shit's gonna happen even quicker. Coachella in 2 months. This year's Coachella.
That's fucking awesome, man.
I might be on Coachella next year. Just saying.
Hey, shout out.
It's in there.
You heard it here now.
It's up in the air right now.
Katsu also, Coachella 2019.
I might be like the smallest band on the poster, but
he might be the last fucking name on that poster.
But he will be there.
But that fool's there.
I might be the... And more.
Yeah. Well,
answer me, guys.
And more. Well, fucking speaking of small names on a poster, you're playing a pretty big festival this year, too.
Yeah.
You're playing
Tropicalia.
Yeah, Tropicalia. Ooh, 2018.
Shit.
How does that feel?
Dude, it's fucking crazy because I was there last year. My homie Abraham from Musty Boys got me on Kuko's guest list. So, like, I was able to be backstage and just chilling with them. And, like, during one point, I got up on stage for Summertime High Time. And that shit, I remember being on stage and seeing all those people. And I was like, I want this. Like, I want to feel this one day. And I told myself, like, I'm going to do Tropicalia one day. And fucking the year after.
Fucking the day's coming.
Yeah.
All you had to do was drop a couple songs. Yeah. Is that easy, folks?
People underestimate the power of social media. Deadass.
Yeah.
Fucking definitely.
It's crazy, man. Like, I was dropping shit. And it turns out I was doing everything the right way. Like, later on, after, like, recently, like, a month ago, I looked up a book on, like, how to get your music out there. And all the shit that was listed on there was shit that I was doing without even thinking about it. And a picture of me
was on there.
No, like, you have to be consistent, but at the same time, you got to give people time, you know? Like, when I dropped Sophie, I was pushing Sophie, like, crazy for, like, 3 months. Just, like... You know, listen to this, like, just pushing as much as I can. And then I dropped another song, and I was just like, having people just wait for what's next, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like now, in our generation, people aren't listening to albums anymore, like, full-on fucking 12-song albums. People are more into singles.
Yeah.
So if you have a fire single, people are going to wait for the next one and the next one. And if it's still fire, the next one. Mm-hmm. And then you can drop an EP and, yeah, see what happens from there.
Well... So, sorry, I'm taking all these questions.
No, go ahead.
But it just like it sparked a question in me. We're talking about a bunch of like being encouraged and a lot of like good feedback and stuff. Did you ever get any negative feedback from people?
I get it all the time, dude. Especially from like people that like I grew up making music with, or just people on the internet, dude, telling me all this shit. At one point, I was like, "Fuck, maybe they're right." And people were like, "Dude, you're trying too much to be like this guy." Like. you fucking sound like this guy, or like, bro, you make pussy ass music. But like, bro, at the same time, like, that shit didn't faze me, because like, it's music that I enjoy listening to. Like, I make what I want to listen to, what I would want to listen to if I was just you know, looking for music. So I really don't care what people say when it comes to like the negative feedback.
That trips me the fuck out, man.
Taylor Swift, Shake It Off.
Yeah, shake that shit man. off.
Some people can be really fucking mean.
I'm like, have you ever had that, Angel? Like, where someone like someone tells you like, sure, that your shit sucks?
Dude, all the fucking time.
No, okay, see, that's what worries me. Nobody's ever at least not to my face. Not to my face. No, I have yet to have somebody tell me like to my face, like, hey, this shit sucks. I've had like people kind of like allude. So that's why, like, whenever I hear that, like, it's like, oof, like, I feel it even more. Yeah, just because it's like, it hurts. Damn, like, it's, I can't hard even imagine.
Because it's your passion.
Yeah,
it's all shit about it.
What sucks is that, at least from my experience, it almost, it weighs heavier than all the good comments sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get 100 good fucking comments, and one guy's like, your shit's whack. You're like,
oh. Then, no, for real.
And then you think about that all day. You're like, fuck, maybe this one person knows what's up.
Mm-hmm. I forget, who was I talking to yesterday? I think I was talking to, fuck. I think I was it you?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking, who was I? Point is that we were talking about, or I forget if he's a musician or not, but he told me the same thing. So he was like, yeah, people's like, just straight up talk shit about my music. And I said, like, and he's like, but the point is like, we're supposed, is like, I started to learn that it's like, it's more about like, okay, this is just the opinion of one guy. Like, if, you know, obviously the good outweighs the bad, like, why am I going to give this fool any attention? So he's like, so it's just about like, he's like, you know, unless it's constructive, like, just like, just block that out. It's like, it's, but it's hard because like, that one is like, you think like, what if everybody else is wrong, mm-hmm, but this one guy is like telling me the truth.
Chris, I just fucking said that. thanks for mansplaining,
did
Chris. Yeah, I literally did.
I think what like kind of hurt me the most, I guess, was this guy that like I would look up to. I'd always go to his shows. Oh. Like, I loved his music writing and like his production and everything. And this one time, like, I was at his party, and it was right after I dropped Honeydew. And Honeydew was my second song ever.
Uh-huh.
I had like no one really listening, just a few people.
Right.
And he was like, hey man, your career ended after Honeydew. And I was like, god damn. Like,
damn.
He didn't fuck with Honeydew. And I was like, fuck, that kind of fucked me up. Because this guy is like, I look up to this guy, and he told me this shit. And I was like, fuck.
I kind of had a similar experience to that one.
That's fucking devastating. But yeah, how'd you get over that?
It was in my head. It still is to this day. And I think about like, fuck, what if it isn't good, you know? But same time, like, all these people were telling me how much it meant to them, so I didn't really care what this guy said.
Yeah.
And now, like, my shit's, you know, it's like blowing up. Yeah. So he's kind of now talking to me like, hey man, congrats.
Yeah, like, that's how it always goes.
Hey, fool, remember that shit I told you that fucked you up?
Good times, right?
We're best friends.
We're still pals. But can I get on that Tropicana again?
Yeah. Dude, it's just like, hey fool, I see what you're playing. Hey, you know, we're homies, huh?
No, I like that. And we've touched on this before, where like I've had that where someone, they never tell me that like my shit's like, but someone that I looked up to was just like a major disappointment. I think it's important, like, even though people that you look up to like might not believe in you, like, it does kind of feel good, like, when you just like put your, like, all right, you know what? If you don't believe me, I don't need your opinion to validate me anymore. I think that's like a really freeing feeling.
And
and
then
really
like after I dropped what was it, Cherry Love? No, before Cherry Love, I had dropped Give It Up To You. Kuko messaged me and he was like, yo, like, my manager put me onto your shit, like, so dope. And like, he followed me on everything, and I was like tripping out, cause like, I, you know, I fuck with Kuko so bad. Like, yeah. I fuck with his music hard. So I was like, oh shit, like, this guy fucks with my music means something, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Like, it has to mean something. Yeah. So I just,
that's great.
Yeah, that kind of gave me that
but
little.
But it's
boost.
Still hard to get that negative seed from your head. It's,
I
like,
think it depends.
Yeah, but
it depends on who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I love that almost everything we've been talking about today is just like, it goes back to this theme of just like believing in yourself and just like driving forward and fucking getting your shit out there. Mm-hmm. And you're always gonna have obstacles. But you gotta jump over those fucking obstacles, those hurdles, and you just gotta go forward, man.
Yep.
And so far so good, I think, for all three of us.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Mm-hmm. So far we haven't really, I always love asking people, like, has there ever been a point where you wanted to give up and shit? Because I think that speaks the most about like your character and who you are and stuff.
Lots of artists times. I mean, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it, bro.
No, I was gonna say, like, lots of artists listen to us, so I always like, you know, for every different people that we interview, like, to bring that up, like, did you ever have a point where you wanted to quit, or like, have you ever had anybody that didn't support you? Because like, especially for people like you're as weird as it might sound, like, you're some people's favorite artist, you know? And, like, to hear you say that, like, you fucking face adversities like that, make them think, like, oh, shit, this guy did? Then,
yeah, man.
Oh, shit, I'm in pretty good company, like we talked about, exactly. You know?
Man. And like I said, like, all these social pressures and, like, pressures from family and shit, that kind of always made me kind of, like, fuck, like, wanting to give up all the time.
Yeah.
But now it's different.
Right.
I think, like, a couple months ago, I was like, fuck, should I even continue doing this?
As you recently know? As a couple months ago.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I know. It's fucked up.
Do you have any more questions on here? Because I think I'd like to close with, like, the big one.
I'm good. What's your favorite food?
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Well,
the big one. All right, the big one. That's what we're waiting for.
What's on everyone's mind.
Take a second if you got to think about it. We understand it might be challenging.
That was my curveball. I was like, yeah, I'm done with questions. What's your favorite food?
Nah, I like mole.
Favorite color?
Yeah. Oh. Well, I go to this spot in fucking Hey, where do you live, Desmadre?
Shut up.
Where do you live? Is that Bell?
City of Bell?
Yeah, City of Bell.
Mole de los Reyes?
Nah, it's called Mi Casita or La Casita Mexicana.
Oh, La Casita.
Oh, is it that orange restaurant?
It's a mole restaurant.
I have not been there. I hear so many great things about it.
You guys gotta go there.
Yeah. It's on Univision all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, so for the real question.
Univision fucks hard.
Quit that restaurant. You know, I like to ask this because I've ever since I was little, like, I've always liked thinking about, like, my legacy and stuff, just because I grew up watching so many people that, like, left, that are leaving behind, like, big legacies of work, like, in film and stuff. And for you, do you ever think of yourself, do you ever think about your legacy? And if so, what do you want it to be, and what does that mean to you?
You know, at this point, I don't really think about that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe later on the line, once once I feel like I've made it, then I'd be like, okay, I want to leave this for people, you know?
Right.
But right now, I just want people to listen and just enjoy my music.
Well, could you try to, like, imagine, like, what at least you would hope, that, maybe not even at the end of the line, but, like, when people take a look at your career, even, like, 2-3 years from now, like, what do you want to be like? Like, oh, like, this is the guy that did this, or, you know what I mean? Like, what do you want to have contributed to like, this movement, to this, like, big wave of, like...
I just want to be, I guess, different than, like, a lot of the artists that are in my scene.
Yeah.
Just using, I don't know, different instruments, I guess. Uh-huh. I hear a lot of, I don't know, a lot of the songs that are up and coming, like, they kind of, I don't know, they kind of sound the same.
Right.
So I kind of just want to steer away from that. That's even cool. Though I know, like, sometimes I feel like some artists don't fuck with me, but at the end of the day, it's like, this is what I want to make.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool that you're aware of that, because I think the same thing too. I'm like, I fuck with a lot of this shit, but, like, sometimes it, like, gets repetitive, or it sounds like most trends. Like, it isn't even just this one. It's a lot of, like, the indie pop from, like, fucking when we were in high school and stuff. But that's cool that you pay attention to that, and that you're aware, and that you're, like, trying to make stuff that sounds different. That's cool. I admire that. Yeah.
So in closing, I think this is going to be released October
22nd.
So what shows can people look forward to catch you at?
All right, Tropicalia is the big one. And then October, I'm playing some shows in, like, Sacramento and San Luis Obispo.
Boom, boom.
With two pretty big bands.
With some homies.
Yeah, and then October 29th, playing with another big band.
Some
it's
going to
be
homies.
A lit month.
Ooh,
yeah.
October's...
I don't want to say the bands yet, but...
October's the really party cool. month.
Yeah.
Well,
hell yeah.
Catch you all at these shows. Say hi to Katsuoso. Say hi to probably Chris Carmona and Angel Salinas too.
We'll be there.
We're probably gonna roll.
We're going
to the San Fran show.
Yeah, we're going to San Fran.
Young
show.
Love,
dude. Yeah, hell yeah.
Omar Paulo, fucking Katsuoso.
That shit is
Maria's, right?
No, sick.
No, it's gonna be. There's other people.
Okay, for sure. Hell yeah.
Don't worry, we'll do some editing.
It's gonna be fun.
But dude, I am so. Thank you again.
Thank you for the time. It was great.
Anytime, guys.
I remember the first time I met him, I recognized him at your shoot. He went to your music video.
Oh, yeah.
I walked up to him. He had a skateboard. And then I think I was drunk by then. I was like, yo, I'm like, are you Katsu? And Valentino's there, and she laughed after I said this. I'm like, are you Katsuoso? You're like, yeah, man. Like, dude, I fucking love Cherry Love. He's like, oh, thanks, man. And then Young got the third leg, and she goes, are you Katsuoso? And, like, the entire night, are you, like, she starts filming him, are you Katsuoso?
Dude, I can imagine fucking Valentina being like, ah! Her fucking cackle and a laugh. All right. We're signing off, everybody. But just like we had in our interlude, I think we're going to leave you with a very nice little tune here. And catch you all in the next episode.
Live from my room.
Live from Chris's room. It's Tuesday. It's Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. with Katsuasa.
Clap, 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 clap. Bye, everybody.
Here we go.
Thanks so much for checking out the Us Podcast.
You can follow us on our Instagram at Us Podcast.
You can also follow us on our personal Instagrams. I am at Angel I Salinas _.
And you can follow me at The Chris Carmona.
Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Write us a review.
Please, that helps us out so much.
Say some nice things. Say some maybe not so nice things. Go ahead and tell us.
Bleats.
Bleats. All right. Bye.
They put it pretty good.